This is how you want the church to be before you preach. So hearts are open because the Holy Spirit is already at work. I had a similar word this morning for it that Kevin brought and Nikki brought. I was going to bring it. And God was speaking to me that we need to be a people. Zechariah 10, chapter 10 says, chapter 2 says, ask me for the rain in the time of the latter rain, and I'll pour out showers in the field, thunder in the sky, blessings in the grass for everybody. That means, why would we ask for rain when it's raining? Because hunger is the currency of heaven. When revival comes, it doesn't come everywhere. It comes to those who sense it and are crying out. I'm telling you, I believe there's a revival coming. And God's got us in a season of waiting, not doing, pressing in, so that we can be moved. Open your Bibles today to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Father God, I thank you that you're here. I thank you that you have a great plan to not only save, but to not only bless, but to use us in partnership for your kingdom. Father God, where we need to be shifted today, shift us. Shift us. We give you permission to sift us and to shift us today, that we will be in the place of partnership with you, Father God. And all the people said, from verse 12, for we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one had died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that of God, that was God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, I think it was a little while ago, Martin wrote a book on believers' identity. And it's so important that we understand who we are. Wouldn't it be strange if you saw a dog meowing and acting like a cat? It's just not natural. But believers can be in that state, because they don't understand who they've become through Christ. And this passage tells us what has happened to us through Christ and who we have become. Before Christ, you were a sinner, you were a slave to sin. But when the Holy Spirit drew you, your attention to that, and you came to the cross and you realized and got the understanding that you could be forgiven of your sin, and that Christ Jesus died on that cross, hung on that cross, that you could be forgiven. A great work happened to you. You were at that moment not only forgiven, but you were reconciled to God. Before that, God was against you. You were under the wrath of God. But when that happened, through Christ, you were forgiven and you were reconciled, and we felt the embrace of God, the love of God was shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, and we became children of God. We were reconciled. And not only reconciled, at that moment we asked God to forgive us and come into our heart, Holy Spirit came in. And that is another person. It's the spiritual person of God came in to dwell in us, making us a new creation. Before that, You didn't have the Spirit of God in you. But when he came into you, you became a new creation. And it was all God's work. Holy Spirit did it all. Came into your heart, and then your life began to change. He started to produce fruit. Started to take out the anger and bring in the peace and the joy. You stopped losing your rag. You started to get self-control. It was all the work of the Holy Spirit. And then the light of Christ was in your heart, erasing the darkness of your past. And you could see the glory of Christ because the Holy Spirit brought that light into your heart. And then you started to notice yourself, I'm different. I know it. The change is real. I am being transformed. You started to be what the Bible calls sanctified. One day to the next, 1 year to the next, you knew you were different. And then other people around you started to recognize the change because you had become a new creation. That's what you know. That's what has happened. And that's what most believers know. But this passage goes on beyond that. It says, having saved you and made you a new creation, God then has appointed you and given you. He's appointed you his ambassador for Christ and given you the ministry of what happened to you. So you were reconciled to God through Christ. And now he's made you an ambassador to bring that ministry of reconciliation to others. Now, the word ambassador is, it's a wonderful word. It's a very exciting word if you understand it. Because an ambassador is a very important person. You're a very important person to God. Did you know that? You're an ambassador is set aside by the home government, home state, or the king, and he commissions the ambassador to go into a foreign land to represent the interest of the home government or king in a foreign land. He is commissioned to do that, to bring the foreign land's influence, the homeland's influence and agenda into the foreign land. That's what an ambassador does. An ambassador never becomes a citizen of the foreign land. We are citizens of heaven. An ambassador never speaks his own opinion. He only speaks the message which was given from the king. He only speaks the message of the home state. He can be recalled by the king at any time. At any time, he can be recalled by the king. To reject or attack the ambassador is to reject the one who sent him. That's why Paul said, when Jesus said, when Paul was converted, why are you attacking me, he said. Didn't say Christians. He said, why are you attacking me? The ambassador, when he is living in the foreign land, has diplomatic immunity. That's why the Bible says you can pick up serpents and snakes and no thing will touch you. If you attack the ambassador in the other land, it is considered, if you attack the ambassador or the embassy, it is considered an assault and a declaration of war against the sending state. And when that happens, the sending state will release its armies to go and protect and defend the ambassador. The king or the head of state shares secrets that no other citizen knows with the ambassador. And we have become ambassadors for Christ. Somebody who has the revelation that they have not only been saved, reconciled, become a new creation, but also made an ambassador is somebody who lives, the expression I like is that person who has that revelation that I am here to represent heaven's interest in this dark place called earth. They are someone who is living on assignment. And I ask you today, are you living on assignment? Are you living as an alien in this world and living on assignment for Jesus? Now, they're the marks of an ambassador I just spoke about. But the ambassador also has a message. Some people are teaching us today that the message of the church is miracles. No. Miracles follow the message. But the message is this. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's our message. Our message is to go into a dark kingdom, people who don't know God, people who are against God, and say to them, you must be reconciled. You need to be reconciled to God. Because if not, you will remain under the wrath of God. That's our message. Now, that's not an easy message to proclaim, because the world doesn't want to hear that message, do they? But a couple of chapters further, Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians 10. He says, our message is difficult. In fact, it's not humanly possible, because we are not fighting merely people. We are fighting principalities and powers. And he says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of the warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting out arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And what that says, what he's saying, is that people of this world, people who live on earth and don't know Christ, they are living in fortresses. The enemy has them captive. And the fortress that holds them are ideologies. They are, it is, well, you could call it worldview, you can call them philosophies. But some people believe that we, nothing created nothing, and it's a lie. They're trapped in that fortress of thinking. It's called evolution, that nothing created everything. Other people believe that all paths belong, just lead to God. It doesn't matter which religion you prove, we're all heading towards God. Other people believe that if you're a good enough person, God will never ever reject you. And increasingly in this country, people are believing that if you don't get it right first time, you're going to get another chance. You just go around and round and round, and every time you live a life, you just get purified. It's called reincarnation. And these are strong, or these are fortresses of the mind that Satan has taken people captive with, and our role is to assault those fortresses with the gospel. And every time we've been given, because ambassadors have authority from the home state. We have been given authority and power through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and our job is to come against those philosophies and ideology and speak God's Word in the power of the Holy Spirit. And every time we do, those fortresses get assaulted. Those fortresses get assaulted and people can become saved. And our message is you can be reconciled to God. And you can use other ways of saying that. You can say to people, listen, the problem is you're just not connected. You know, it's like the line has been disconnected. You just need to get connected back to God again. Otherwise, you'll never know why you're alive. There's different ways to bring the message. And an ambassador is a diplomat. He doesn't just belt people over the head. He exercises diplomacy. And he thinks, how am I going to represent the king to get this message across? I need to be diplomatic. Some people, I say, you need to get reconnected. Other people, you can say, you need to know the love of God. Different ways. And, you know, sometimes I preach like this and people just feel guilty. They say, well, I've got to be converting everybody. No, you don't. That's up to God. And it's not just about preaching, but it's about deliberately having the mindset that I am not just making a living. I'm not just like everybody else trying to provide for my family. I am on assignment. And even if I'm just showing them the character of Christ today, I'm living deliberately. I'm always trying to win people. I'm always trying to reconcile people. I don't have to preach them and beat them over the head. I don't have to try to make a notch on my belt. But I'm in my attitude, when I go to work, I'm not just making a living. I'm making a living for the kingdom. I want to see reconciliation happen at the school. I want to see reconciliation happen at the workplace. I want to see reconciliation happen in my family. It's why I exist. I am an ambassador and I live on assignment. And that's the message. And the motive for the ambassador says, for the love of Christ compels us. When the Holy Spirit comes into our life, He sheds the love of God into our hearts. And even though people don't know it, we tell them this message because we love them. And I believe when you share the message in the love of Christ, love never fails. Doesn't mean they get converted overnight, but it does mean a seed has been sown. It's not up to you to convert people. It's just up to us to sow seed. And when we sow the seed in love, people know when you're speaking from love or not speaking from religion, but actually you love them and you want them to come into the kingdom because you know they're under the wrath of God. You know hell is in front of them and you want them to be reconciled to God. They know it. They know when someone's speaking from love. And so we are God's. You are important to God. You are not only a new creation, as I said, you've been given this message of reconciliation. And that is your assignment. And you know, there are some people that don't want the assignment. And they don't want the assignment because some embassies are different to others. Some embassies are better than others. You know, everyone wants to go to be sent to London as an ambassador. Not too many people want to go to Iran, I suppose. And there's scriptures in the Bible where people like Jonah, they didn't want the assignment. So they went off to the world. He went off to Tarshish when God was giving him the assignment to go to Nineveh. And we're very careful as believers. We say, I want to be saved. I want to be a new creation. I want the blessings. But I also want to go to Tarshish. I want to live in the world and not go on assignment. And I'll tell you why it's so important that we don't become Christians who, yes, we're saved, yes, we're born again, but I'm not on assignment. I'll tell you why it's so important. John says basically the same message. Jesus says in the book of John, he speaks about Him being the vine and we being the branches. And then in verse 16, he goes on to say, you didn't choose me. Isn't that amazing? You didn't choose him. If you say, I'm a Christian because I respond, I chose Christ. No, you didn't. He chose you before the world was created. But isn't it wonderful? You'd been chosen. Nobody, no Christian should have low self-esteem. There's, look, maybe 5% in this nation. You've been chosen by God and appointed by God. Every Christian should have an extraordinary high self-esteem if we know who we are. But listen to this. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you ambassador. Why? That you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should last. What is the fruit? The fruit is our character. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit change, but it's also being effective for Him. Winning souls, speaking the gospel, sharing the ministry of reconciliation. Look. So He says, I appointed you. You didn't choose me. I took hold of you. I said, I want Leonie. I want her, I chose her, and I appointed her to bear fruit. Say to someone, you're appointed to bear fruit. You will bear fruit. That's what he saved you for. He saved you to plug you into the vine. And if you're plugged into the vine, the branch is plugged into the vine, fruit just happens. But listen, he says, I appointed you to bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. And then the next verse says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. So in other words, if you are living on assignment and your mission and your interests are not worldly, they're not your own, they're not just all about you and yours, you getting more a promotion, you getting more money, you getting a promotion, everything's for me and my family. But if you actually live on assignment and it's about the kingdom, he says you'll have a prayer life when you ask whatever you ask, I'll give it to you. I need $5 million for mission, Lord, I'll give it to you. Because it's about the king's interests. And this is why so many people have a frustrated prayer life today in churches. I'm not speaking about these churches, but I'm speaking about the Western church. We've taught this gospel that it's all me-centered, that God wants to save me to live a life like anybody else. But he has appointed us and ambassadors to bear fruit, and the condition of an extraordinary prayer life is that we live on assignment for him. And then you say, I need God. I need you to bless my business because my business needs to fund the kingdom. I need you to give me a promotion because I want to become more influential in that business for your kingdom. And then your prayers start to get answered. If you don't believe me, I'll read you a scripture that is just so amazing. You know, and God wants us to be people who are being resourced supernaturally. Listen to the words of James. James speaks about prayer. It's a very amazing book. But James said just in practice, chapters 4. You lust and you do not have. You murder and you covet and you cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. So you can have a prayer life and you can be asking God and missing the target. Because the focus of the prayers, they're not kingdom prayers. God loves you and he wants to bless you and he will provide for you to a degree. But in order to get into that place where your prayer life becomes supernatural, where God is speaking to you, where God is sharing the secrets of the kingdom with you, where he's resourcing you, where you know you have a source that is not of this world, that your provision is being released, it's because your prayers are kingdom prayers. They're not just for me and mine. They are for God, that I could represent you, that your kingdom would come more fully on this earth. That's what God wants to do. He wants to get us living on assignment for him. And when we do live on assignment for him, we have the most extraordinary prayer life. He says, whatever you ask. No, there's no condition to that. When you're living on assignment for me, when you're a kingdom person, whatever you ask the Father in my name, that he may give you. And that is repeated in three parts of the Bible. Whatever you ask in my name, I'll give you. In other words, it's got to be a kingdom prayer. It can't just be a prayer. Yes, God does provide for us. He hears us. And he is good to answer so many prayers. But that prayer life where we are going to him regularly and he is so interested in us to answer is because your interests are his interests. That your agenda is heaven's agenda. That you're living in this dark world as a citizen of heaven, trying to bring the light of the gospel into people that are living in darkness and hell-bound, but your whole reason you exist is to get them reconciled to God. And he said, when you live on that, when you live like that, all your requests, he said, I'll answer them. And he does. I just give you an example. We've been going to the nations. And this year, my wonderful treasurer, John, knows that our finances are supernatural in this church. They're completely supernatural. But I was called. I heard from a dream, go into the nations. It was supernatural. And that's my assignment. That's my particular. I wish it was London, but it's Pakistan. And towards the start of this year, our finances started to go low. And I said, listen, I said, God's sending me. We need money. And some of us were here, we're in the prayer meeting on a Monday morning. I called 21 days of prayer. And I said, listen, five people come up, just agree with me. I need more money now. This is a big mission. We're now going to school. On October this year, I'm going to preach in 3 stadiums. Probably to more than 100,000 people. It all needs money because Pakistan hasn't got them. So I got 5 people together and I said, we need money for this. So I went to Pakistan. I'd only been in Pakistan for about 4 days. And someone who I used to know, they're not in this church, rang me. And they said, I've got something to give you. They came and they said, I've never seen a ministry that's so effective. And he said, I want to give you this amount of money. And it was a lot of money. Why did the money come? Of course, it wasn't about my house or my family, because it was about the kingdom. It's about living on assignment. And he answered that prayer within 4 days. Within 4 days. What does it look like to live on assignment? The favorite person in the scriptures that I love, that lived deliberately on assignment, is Daniel. Daniel was somebody who came from Israel and he was taken captive and he went into Babylon. So he found himself living as an exile. So are we. We're just passing through. We are sojourners, like Abraham. We are exiles because heaven is our home. If you're a Christian, heaven is your home. And you are living as an exile here, like Daniel. He's living as an exile. And most of the people who were taken into Babylon, they just integrated very quickly into the culture of Babylon. And though they were God's people, they were not living on assignment, and nothing is ever mentioned of them again. They just integrated into Babylon like we can just be God's people but integrate into the world and live no differently to anyone in the world. But Daniel was different. All through the Bible, you see Daniel, all he wants to do is represent God to these people who are godless. And when he interprets dreams, he's always quick to say, this got nothing to do with me, I can't do it, but the God, my most high God, gave me the ability to interpret this dream. He says that the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision, and then he goes into the king and says, there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. He says to Nebuchadnezzar, God is going to humble you and send you out into the field. But he doesn't just say there. He says, until the God who is the most high and rules in heaven, until you acknowledge him. Another time, I love this, he interprets a dream and then the king wants to give him gifts. And Daniel says, let your gifts be for yourself. Give your rewards to another, yet I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father's kingdom, majesty. And he goes on to say, but he says, the most high God did this. And he goes on to say, the most high God gives and the most high. But my point is that everything Daniel was doing, he wasn't just thinking of his own problems and trying to get through life in that dark kingdom, everything he was doing, he did to represent his God to those people in darkness. He was living as an ambassador. He went to Babylon on assignment. And what did God do? He had a prayer life that was so extraordinary. I keep saying, if we live on assignment, God will answer all our prayers. He got into a problem where the king was disturbed by a dream, and all the astrologers came in, and all the New Agers came in, because they can't really interpret things of God, and no one could do anything. But Daniel went and prayed, and it said, God, I told you the king revealed secrets to his ambassadors. Of course, he was living on an assignment as an ambassador. The secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So God answered him with a supernatural revelation and ability to interpret dreams. I told you, if we live on assignment, any declaration of war against us or violence against us is a declaration of war against heaven, and heaven sends its armies to protect the ambassador when we're living as an ambassador. Daniel was put into a lion's den. And what happened? God said, that's my man. He's not just a confessor. He's someone who's living on an assignment. And he sent an angel from the army of angels to shut the lion's mouth, because he was living on assignment. See, God can't afford to lose his ambassadors. There's so few of them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel's peers, were also living there on assignment. They lived there. They wouldn't bow down to idols. They lived to demonstrate loyal to the king, and they could only speak the message and do the things the home kingdom allowed. So they wouldn't bow down to idols. They're ambassadors. And when they were put into a fire, this time, God not only sent an angel, he sent the captain of angel armies, the Lord of hosts, into that fire to defend his ambassador who was living on assignment, all three of them. So when we live on assignment, by the way, all these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, they never lacked anything. In fact, they were promoted over and over and over again. And the Bible says Daniel, in the end, was promoted and over the whole of the kingdom. Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, and the king set him over all the realm. So that means Daniel, basically, God put him in a position where he was prime minister, where he could have maximum influence for the sending king. So you see, what did he have? Every prayer was answered of Daniel's. Everything was provided for that he needed. Ambassadors live in pretty nice houses. Supernaturally protected. Supernaturally protected. And God shared secrets, revealed secrets to him. Because the king shares his secrets of the kingdom, not with everybody, but with the ambassadors on assignment. So our role here, God wants us all to have a testimony. Oh, God has answered another prayer. God has spoke to me. He's revealed that problem I had through a vision and a dream. That's not for exceptional people. God says when the Spirit of the Lord is outpoured, young men will see visions, old men will have dreams. We're all supposed to be able to hear from God. He's supposed to be sharing his secrets with everybody, but he's not going to share them unless we're intentional. We see ourselves as sojourners. This is not my home. I'm here to represent the King. I don't have an opinion of my own. I only speak what the King gives me to speak. My message is the King's message, not my own opinion. And I'm always trying to bring that message of reconciliation. I'm living to see people, families, workplace, people reconciled to God. I'm not responsible for that, but I'm praying about it. I'm looking for opportunities. I want to be promoted so I have more influence for the kingdom of God. That's where you get promoted. But if you just want to be promoted to be promoted, so you just want to have more blessings so you can help your family. Family is a good thing. Look after your family. Being promoted is a good thing. But if you are, if the motive and the it, that those answers are just an end to themselves, you'll have a frustrated prayer life. You will ask amiss. But if everything you do, if you live because you say, I've been appointed. My life's no longer my own. I am a very important partner with God. I am an ambassador here. He will answer you so quickly. You will have the most extraordinary answers. Because the Bible says, whatever you ask, if it's a kingdom prayer, I will. And it makes sense, doesn't it? If it's about him and his kingdom, that makes sense. So some of us, I know in my own walk, when I had to make this shift, because it's not our fault. We've grown up in the Western church where we've had this sugar-coated gospel where we say, come and be reconciled to God. Yeah, you can be a new creation. And so that you just be blessed more than everybody else. That's what the church has preached. But it's not. The blessings come when we actually understand. I've been appointed by God. Do you feel like a very important person? I feel like a very important person. Because God hasn't got many of us. God hasn't got many ambassadors. And when you... God loves all his children. But I'll tell you just as a testimony, when we make the shift, and I had to make a shift in my thinking many years ago, I had to make a shift that I'm not just saved to be blessed, but I'm saved to be his ambassador, live on assignment. I tell you what I knew. That was the moment, and I'll testify, then God got especially interested in me. God got especially interested. Because they're not just prayers for me and mine. I want to be successful for the sake of my family. Well, that's good. But beyond that is I want my family to be all looked after. Needs to be all looked after. Needs to be all provided for. So God, that I can do the work of an ambassador. You will ask whatever you desire. And your Father will answer. You know, every now and then, Jesus said, and this is a little bit sobering, it's not to scare anybody, but every now and then we need to be sobered, we need to examine ourselves, because Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you, which again, just blows me away every day when I think of all the people he could have chosen. Sometimes I wonder why he chose me. You know, I'm kind of goofy, but God chose me and he chose you. But he said, I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit. Now, why that's important? Ambassador has to be fruitful and effective. Otherwise, the King will call him home. I'm not saying God's going to call us home, but that's what does happen. However, Jesus, the ambassador is expected to be effective. And Jesus told this other parable. He said, I've appointed you to bear fruit. And another time he said that, told a parable about a landowner who planted a vineyard and went to the grapevines to inspect it for fruit. And then he said, oh, there's no fruit here. And that fruit represents believers not doing anything, not being effective. And he said, let's dig around it for a year. Let's dig around it, put some good fertilizer in, and come back in a year and to see if it's bearing fruit. Because God expects us to bear fruit for him. Every now and then we've got to examine ourselves. Am I being fruitful? It doesn't mean that, you know, people are being saved for you every day. But is the fruit of the Holy Spirit being produced in my life? Am I living to share Christ with other people? Am I giving towards the kingdom? Whatever it is, am I being used by God? Am I making a difference for the kingdom? Every now and then we've got to ask ourselves that question, because we're all tempted to backslide. But my point is today is that we, the most satisfied people in the kingdom, know who they are in Christ. You have been chosen. You, God sent the Holy Spirit after you. You didn't choose him. And the Holy Spirit revealed to you your need for a Savior. And when you accepted Christ, it was because he chose you for that. That's what he chose you for. Reconciled you. Made you new. Changed your life. Others saw the change. But then he said, aha, I'm appointing you as a very important person. As a very important person. You know why God's calling us into this time of waiting and prayer? Is because the ambassador always has to be in touch with the sending king or the home state. Always has to stay connected. God's actually calling us into a place where we can stay connected and speak his message. Speak his message. You know, I said before, if we live on assignment, we will know supernatural protection. You know, that produces such a confidence in your life. Produces such a confidence in your life. The fear that some people have about their family, about things going wrong. When you are someone who is living on that assignment, you will know in your knower, in deep down, that nothing really, you know, God is going to watch over you. And he's not going to take things like your family home until it's their time. And it will produce, there'll be no anxiety, because you'll know God is covering you. He is protecting you. You won't be anxious about your provision, because you'll be able to ask God. He'll say, ah, I'm going to resource that person. I'm going to bless them. Is that how you are? Can you say, I have an extraordinary prayer life. I not only pray to God, but I am answered by God. Maybe not all the time, because Daniel's prayers sometimes are opposed. But he's the greatest example, I think, in all of the scriptures of someone who we can look at and is deliberately living as that ambassador in Babylon. He is there. I'm God's man. This is what I am. I'm here to represent God in every way. And you know, I said the king shares the secrets with his ambassadors. What else did God share with Daniel? Not only the secret of the dream, king's dreams, but he shared the secret that 70 years was up for Jerusalem. And then he shared the secret through dreams about how the world would end and how the tribulation would come and how the rapture would happen. God shared extraordinary secrets. with his ambassadors living on assignment. Do you want a prayer life like that? God to speak to in dreams, unlock problems. Yes, God wants to unlock problems by supernaturally revealing solutions. Show you problems ahead before they even happen. Answer you with provision and protection. And know that if any problems come, angels are going to defend you. Why you attack me? You're not attacking me, you're attacking my God. And angels will come to deal with the problem. God wants you to live with that confidence, wants you to live with that comfort. Supernatural provision, supernatural protection, supernatural connection, supernatural revelation. It's all given to people who live on assignment for him. So, this is not a shouting message, is it? So the question is, do I need to make a shift? Do I need to make that shift? Oh God. I need to live as your representative. Need to make that shift. Do you feel as though your life has great importance? Great importance. It does. You just may not understand it. But he has made you, chosen you, and made you already his representative ambassador here. God has no plan B. It's him, the king, the sender, and his ambassadors. Say to God today, let's bow our heads. I want to pray for us. Father, I thank you for everyone here that you have chosen them. I thank you, Father God, that you have appointed them for you to move through them. You are the vine, we are the branches. Bear fruit. And Father, I thank you that each and every person here who bears the name of Christ is so important. From the least, people who think they're the least, to the most, we are important to you. And Father, I ask that where there needs to be a shift, we would make that shift. Lord, we all have needs. You know our needs. Your word of God says, as a bird is provided for, you'll provide for us. As a lily is clothed, you'll clothe us. But Father, you want us to be in connection with you in a much more extraordinary way. You want us to have such a prayer life that, Father, all we're asking is being answered, because it's about your kingdom. Our prayers are kingdom prayers. Let our prayers be kingdom prayers. Let us all make that shift where it needs to be, where we see ourselves as heaven's pick, heaven's selection, and heaven's representative in this dark world, Lord. You've made us the light. Fill us afresh today that we may be. Just shine your light in all the places, in our workplaces, in our families, that lost people may increasingly be reconciled to you in these end days. We ask for souls. We ask for a season of salvation, Lord, in this house. We ask for a season, Lord, where many will experience the miracle of reconciliation. And we ask for a season where we will know we are being used like we've never been used before. We pray that in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Expect God to answer your prayers. Extraordinarily. That's a blessing.
We give thanks to the God who will deliver.